low win rates, excessive discounting, challenging negotiations. Welcome to the Sales Readiness Podcast, a podcast brought to you by the Sales Readiness Group. We're an industry-leading sales training company that helps businesses develop highly effective sales organizations. This podcast is about one question: how to transform your team into peak performers. If you want the answer, keep listening. If you want it faster, visit salesreadinessgroup.com/podcast.
We're thrilled to be here today and talking about a topic that we're very passionate about, which is this whole concept of collaborative learning, and specifically some of the examples and case studies that we can share in healthcare about what's working today, what's changed over the last 18 months even, and what we're seeing going forward. But David, welcome, and excited to jump into the topic here.
Yeah, Ray, I think it's exciting to be here, and we're looking forward to sharing information with you. I mean, Ray and I kind of last week sat down, and we really use this as an opportunity to kind of take stock. And I don't know if we're in a post-COVID or a COVID pause, whatever you want to call the time period we're in right now, but kind of looking back the last year or so, and what are some of the takeaways that we learned, you know, in the programs that we rolled out for our clients?
So by way of an agenda where we're heading, we wanted to talk a little bit about some of the trends we've seen over the past year or so, year and a half, how sales training is changing, and also reference some training industry data that we have and research that's been done, both around what's changing and also what learners are looking for. So kind of what they're hoping to get. So we'll talk about that and also get some input from the group here about what you're seeing in your learners across the organization. And then we'll talk a little bit about this idea of more engaging training experience and some of the lessons that we've learned there, and also sharing case studies and some lessons learned from leading companies that have deployed these techniques that we're going to talk about. So, David, anything you would add on the agenda here before we jump in?
No, I think this is a really tight agenda, and I know that you have we're going to put our audience to work right now.
Yeah, so if, with the help of Tim here, we'd love to open up a poll and really just get your thoughts on what your organization is looking like. And, you know, what's interesting as we're talking to clients is, you know, I think people were kind of full speed ahead planning for, you know, returning some training in person, returning staff to the office. And, you know, now maybe that is a little bit of a pause while we're sorting it out. And so we're seeing a lot of remote or hybrid solutions. But we'd love to see from the organization today, we'll just keep this open for a minute or so, but what's your organization planned work environment for the second half of the year? So looking, you know, now through the end of the year, do you expect to be fully remote where, you know, office is closed and people are working remotely? Is there a hybrid option, which is kind of what we've done in a couple of days in the office, and then people having the flexibility to work offsite? Many companies are returning to the office, and it's, you know, full speed ahead. Let's get people back. And there are reasons that they need to do that. And then also, you know, a lot of people are just figuring it out. And David, be curious your thoughts on this while we're getting the final results here.
Well, I mean, for me, what's interesting is that how does this impact training, right? I mean, we, you know, just our own story was that we were planning to be full steam ahead 3 days a week in the office in August. And now we've pushed that back till September. But that being said, I mean, Ray, I know that you're getting on an airplane and doing training in Minneapolis for a tech company in a couple of weeks. We have another person training in Canada in person, and we haven't done in person in quite some time. And we have another training project going on in the South in Nashville. And so we are definitely seeing more in person, but our primary delivery method is still, you know, a VILT.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, we'll talk about some of the, I guess, benefits of that, you know, the silver lining of, hey, we had to kind of, some companies were forced into that solution, made it work or figured it out, and in some cases are getting better outcomes. And I think Lynn mentioned in the chat here, remote training 2 to 3 days a week for office workers. So I think we're seeing that. You know, Tim, love to see the results here. If you could share that, what does the audience think?
Well, this definitely doesn't surprise me. I mean, I'm always asking our customers, what are you guys doing now, Office, and how are you engaging with your, you know, because we're in sales training, obviously, how are you engaging with your customers? I did a project for a company in the dental space, and, you know, they were doing everything via Zoom, but they couldn't wait to engage with their customers in person. You know, it's very, very challenging selling medical equipment via Zoom. I mean, in that case, the doctor couldn't hold a piece of equipment in his or her hand and see, you know, how does that equipment feel like? I mean, that's very important. Or even if you're demoing a piece of medical equipment via Zoom, it's just not the same as being there and seeing the person's reaction in real time and having them touch it and look at it.
Yeah, and I think what this says to me is, you know, some version of hybrid is here to stay for a while. And, you know, certainly the research is compelling that even in the case where we could return, in some cases, clients don't necessarily want people walking the halls or showing up unannounced. Access may be more limited than in the past, or we've simply found that we don't need to be there as often as maybe we expected. So, you know, flying across the country for a 1-hour meeting may not be as commonplace, you know, coming out of that. So, Tim, if you can go ahead and clear that poll, you know, let's continue on here.
Yeah, Ray, and I would just say in the healthcare industry, I'm just really curious to see what happens to the status of telemedicine, which I believe was like done on an emergency temporary basis, but whether that sticks or not. My belief is that it's here to stay and that we're going to be in a hybrid world, both our customers are going to be in a hybrid world. We're going to be in a hybrid world. You know, patients are going to expect being in a hybrid world. I think the genie's out of the bottle. It's going to be very, very difficult to go to full-time in-person anything going forward.
Yeah, I think you're right. Some of those things that we found, hey, that works and people like it. And I'd say with telemedicine, in some cases, it is more convenient if it's just a checkup and you don't have to do much. I mean, we've been trying to get that to work for 20 years, and all of a sudden, in a matter of a few weeks, we kind of figured it out, or at least made it work on a temporary basis. So let's continue on here. You know, I wanted to share just a little bit of research from training industry around the effects of COVID on training delivery. And so this was done last year, and it's been updated. But if you look at the snapshot, before COVID, over 40% of training was instructor-led. And I'd say that's very consistent. In fact, we were a higher percentage of that in terms of our in-person workshops and delivery. And then overnight, that had to change, right? Because ILT wasn't available anymore. And you see during COVID, that jumped down to, you know, less than 25% in-person. Still some in-person, you know, large conference rooms, people taking protocols, you know, to make those safe. But a much larger percentage VILT and e-learning that grew. And then predicted when training industry asked, hey, looking forward in 2021, what does that look like? You know, some return to the classroom, and this was done before the, you know, kind of current resurgence, but not as much as initial or pre-COVID. And I think right now we'd probably see that's even less, you know, at least for the rest of 2021. I don't know, any thoughts or observations on this, David?
Well, I think, you know, when I look at the far right-hand side, the predicted kind of where we're going to end up. So irrespective of where, you know, how this current COVID wave, you know, at some point it'll subside. You know, I kind of agree with this data, which really shows that in the future state, we're going to be in a slightly more balanced world between VILT and ILT. And e-learning is always going to have a place. And I'll talk a little bit about some experiences we've had with e-learning and how to make it more impactful. But I think the go-forward future, this is consistent with kind of our polling data, is kind of different modalities are more in balance to really reflect kind of the hybrid world we're entering into now. Or actually, we're in it right now.
We're in it, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I think the message going forward is how do we optimize that, right, for the learner and for outcomes? You know, how do we make sure we're tailoring it to what learners want, to create a, you know, a valuable and satisfying training experience and something they're actually taking away, you know, key lessons. So I'll share just another piece from this training industry survey. And that is the effectiveness of each modality. So this is from the learner perspective, when they said, well, how do they want to learn, or what do they think is most valuable? And what's interesting here is, you know, on-the-job training and coaching receive the highest percentage, right? So that's the in the flow of work, that's hands-on application. And any program needs to consider that and include that, even if it's ILT or VILT or e-learning, but how are we putting that into practice? And then ILT, you know, I think a lot of people enjoy and like being in the workshop, the immersive nature of that, being able to really dive in with their peers. And you see how the rest of this, you know, kind of breaks out. You know, the one surprise to me, and I'd be interested in your thoughts, David, but VILT shows up pretty low on the list. And I know we were chatting about this in terms of the effectiveness of VILT, but what do you think's going on there with VILT being ranked so low?
Well, I know that, you know, we talked about when the survey was taken because the copyright says 2020, and it may have been during kind of the height of the Zoom fatigue era, which I kind of put as the summer of 2020. So that I'm curious if we took the survey again today, what the results would say. You know, my feeling is that there's a real hunger to going back to the classroom for the trainees. I think they want to, you know, engage and socialize and see their peers in person, whether that's possible or not. I'm a little bit surprised by how popular e-learning is, because in our experience, you know, when we talk to our clients, it always has a really low completion rate. You know, people like, you know, we talked about collaboration. That's the title of this webinar. People want to collaborate and engage with other people. You know, obviously that's harder to do with e-learning. And VILT, I'm going to, maybe that's a little bit of Zoom fatigue going on here. I suspect that now, if it was taken today, you'd see VILT being a little bit higher up there. But that's just my suspicion.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're right, both about, oh no, not another, you know, Zoom session or VILT session. And also, you know, what we saw was the drive and the need to pivot from ILT to something drove, frankly, a lot of poor VILT implementations from our perspective. And that's the case where you take a 16-hour program and you say, okay, we're just going to teach this in Zoom. And, you know, what it speaks to is there really needs to be a different instructional design. There needs to be spaced learning. You need to have skill application built in. And you really need to rethink those programs, as opposed to we're just going to lecture over Zoom, you know, for 4 hours at a time or 8 hours at a time. And that does not go over well. So I think we're probably seeing a little bit of that as well.
Right.
So let's get some input again from the audience here. Love to get, go back there, in the chat or in the question box, if you could, what are some of the greatest training challenges your organization experienced? Because we want to bring these in as we talk about the lessons learned and case studies that we brought up. But I'd love to understand, what are some of the challenges you all have run into?
Okay.
So we'll wait to get, we have a great audience here, so love to get some responses here. And just while we're doing that, there was a question from Charles about expanding on job aids. And, you know, as we're thinking about that, the in the flow of work idea of a job aid, maybe that's a playbook, maybe that's a reference card, you know, maybe that's a play that they can execute. I think the ability to make those available, especially at the point of need, so whether that's through the CRM or through a content management solution, you know, a HighSpot or a Lego or those types of things, making that available can be a great learning opportunity because they have the reference right there. I think that's what the survey was getting to. So yeah. We're starting to get some responses in here.
Yeah, and as I say, you know, Lynn's making a really interesting point, or I'm sorry, Lynn is about accommodating different types of learners. And it's obviously more challenging when you have a limited number of modalities, when ILT for some people may be restricted.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, some really good, Aaron mentions audience engagement. So we're going to talk about that. How do we really get that collaboration and pull through, balancing the cadence of training initiatives, as Mark says, with expectations on field activities. So, hey, they actually have to deliver, getting hands-on in virtual training, as John mentioned. So How do we make it real? Executed virtually as teams were burned out on Zoom. So
Renee, we hear that one a lot of Zoom.
Absolutely. That resonates. So, you know, definitely some great feedback. I know everybody here has been in the trenches and seeing this, and Lynn mentions, you know, trying to accommodate different learner types. And we're going to touch on that, because I think the key takeaway and what Ken Taylor from Training Industry would say about that previous slide is, if we can meet the learner with their preferred style, the satisfaction rate and the engagement goes up significantly. And so that may mean we need to fish with more lures, right? Or we need to have more modalities. So if some like e-learning, some like virtual, some like, you know, on the job, if we can combine those, we're more likely to get that satisfaction rate. And I think the blended program, this digital blend, is really going to be the answer.
Yeah. And then Natalie's making an interesting point about, you know, reps with different tech skills. So, I mean, I think that's a reality, although I think at this point in the game, like my mom, who's in her late 80s, she's on Zoom lectures and things all the time. So I think at this point in the game, most people can do at least VILT. But I'm not belittling the point. I'm not trying to at all.
No, absolutely. But I think that's another somewhat of a benefit, is the barrier to entry has gone down. Now people are more comfortable, and even getting people to turn their camera on. You know, it used to be really difficult. People didn't know, or they weren't comfortable. And now it's like, oh yeah, we do that all the time. So
yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, I want to be sensitive to our time. I know we have a limited period here, and I want to talk about this idea of creating an engaging training experience. And, you know, that came up in a number of the chats, but David, maybe you could talk about some of the different learning modalities and how to blend those together.
Yeah. Okay. So real quick. So just to level set, I mean, ILT completely disappeared for at least a year. It is starting to come back a little bit. You know, I hope we see more of it. It's clearly what learners want based on the survey data. E-learning has been fairly constant. Really, VILT is where we saw the explosion, where everyone shifted to Zoom or Teams type of training, and we'll have share some best practices with you. Kind of one area that we're going to talk about is this emerging modality that we call a digital blend, and that's where you combine videos and or e-learning together with VILT and collaboration, like peer-to-peer learning. And that's where we're, at least in our business, seeing really an explosion of interest in digital blend.
Absolutely. And as a facilitator, I think we see the outcomes improve. We see the engagement that's happening there. Let me just walk through this. And again, I'll do it quickly because I really want to make sure we have time to talk through some of the case studies here. But we took this idea of digital blend and we branded it as a collaborative learning experience, so CLX. And what we mean by that is this really is that combination of flipping the classroom, providing, you know, whether it's the videos, some e-learning, micro-learning up front, and then we've incorporated what we call voice of the seller content. So doing some customized videos, interviewing some top sellers, maybe the sales leaders, and bringing that in so that they're not just hearing an industry neutral or general training video, but they're also hearing from their organization. And I think we can do that more cost effectively these days. And even just an interview on Zoom or Teams or whatever platform you want to use, but editing those for, you know, very relevant content that speaks to them. So we've done that, and then having skill application built in. So the field work or some type of an assignment, maybe they're creating a video that they have to show, you know, their demonstration of the skill. And then an opportunity, and through the platform we'll talk about, to discuss and collaborate on those. And, you know, that's great if you can do it in an interactive way, an online platform. But even in VILT, you know, the idea of having a capstone where they have to come and show their work, and then in a breakout talk about that with a rubric, right, with some evaluation criteria, and getting feedback from each other about how they've applied those skills, it really brings it to life. And, you know, newsflash, it also increases or improves the completion rate, because they know they're going to get called out in front of their peers. And if they don't do their homework, that's going to be awkward. So I think we've seen that work well. Having the tools and resources, as we talked about, you know, one place where they can go to get the job aid or resource library, you know, back online to be able to pull that, so they're not going through emails and different files to be able to get access. and then ultimately some form of a leaderboard or gamification. And in an online platform, that makes it very beneficial and easier to administer, where they're getting points, if you will, for completing these activities. And so they're competing with each other. And just that simple thing, it's not really a game as much as just a status, but boy, salespeople are competitive, and we've seen real improvements in completion rates just because they're seeing how they stack up against their peers. Anything else you'd add to this, David?
No, I think that we're kind of in the interest of time, I think that's a pretty good explanation. But I just want to quickly on the next slide compare the different modalities, and you can kind of see, you can kind of see that when we talk about collaboration, where we've seen the most success with the programs, if you look at, you know, VILT and Digital Blender, as we call it, CLX, it's having the ability to have a live facilitator, having assignments that you can work on, and more importantly, assignments that you can work on with your peers, or have your peers review your assignments or talk about them in a discussion thread. That really brings the training to life. And one of the things that we noticed is that the digital blend, which is mainly driven by, you know, videos together with live VILT sessions, in the programs that we ran, we had an incredibly high completion rate. And I know that probably a lot of you from your own experiences know that just plain e-learning, watch the video, take a quiz, the completion rates are really low. So we were really surprised, you know, in a good way, how high the completion rates were with the digital blend modality.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll share some stories about that. So I want to make sure, and again, being sensitive to the timing, we'll just go through these, you know, a minute or two each. But David, maybe you could talk through the first one, which was more pure e-learning for this specialty pharma client we worked with.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm a fan of e-learning, but it's a tool and you have to use the tool in the best way possible. I think people get into trouble when they try to use e-learning as a 100% substitute for a classroom, whether it's an in-person or a virtual classroom. And I think that what we found to be really successful, at least with this customer, is that they used e-learning for onboarding pre-work. So they hired a new class of pharma reps. They were going to get them together in person. This is just when COVID was starting. And the e-learning was really just pre-workshop. They used it as reinforcement. And where they really got traction was we created a coaching guide and a training manual for the managers. And the managers would use like maybe one short micro learning module per sales meeting. And we developed like a 15-minute curriculum, you know, watch the video, discuss it. Here's a few discussion questions. Here's a quick exercise. And that way we got the managers involved in the training. And it was much more effective than just having the reps watch, you know, videos and take a quiz.
I think that's such a great approach. And we've used that across manufacturing and pharma and tech. And, you know, the idea of having a manager training playbook that they can execute. And, you know, it helps to scale because there will never be enough trainers. There will never be enough sessions. But if the manager can have a playbook to follow to help reinforce those skills, I think it really helps with the scale. So that's great on e-learning. You know, I'll talk a little bit about just a more traditional VILT. And this was a medical device client we worked with. And one of their challenges was helping to support high performing reps and potential managers. So it was a leadership development program. And they wanted to execute that over a number of months. And so we created this program that leveraged spaced learning and had different lessons that they could look forward to. But in between, they had to capture and apply those skills, right? So again, applying the skills, coming back. And some of those sessions ended up being much more focused on the application of the previous skill and how that was working than trying to lecture or teach a new concept. And so, you know, balancing that collaboration with the new content. The other thing we did very successfully there was these Voice of the Seller videos where we interviewed over a dozen people in the organization. We edited those and curated them down into little sound bites of, hey, let's talk about call planning. Let's talk about common objections. And again, it was their colleagues and leaders talking about those skills. And that made that very effective in support and follow up that they could watch. The other thing I'd say about this program is having the leaders involved in the sessions and in those videos showed how committed they were to the program and to the development of these folks. And it really created high participation rates, Actually, the group that went through initially had a higher promotion rate. So that was a win for them and for the training organization, and also created this idea of kind of peer-to-peer coaching. I'll just cover the last one just so we have a minute or so for questions. But this one, and this is actually a high-tech client, but this is the idea of implementing this on a collaborative learning platform. And so this CLX, this was a case where they wanted to take technical specialists and really transition them into a more of a consultative selling role. So they needed basic selling skills, and they needed to scale this across hundreds and hundreds of reps. So what we did initially, it was ILT, then we transitioned to VILT. And as COVID came, we said, okay, this is working. They like the program, but we need to scale it. We migrated it to this online platform that had videos, but then also weekly sessions and ability to have kind of office hours and ask the expert. And then we also incorporated these voice of the seller videos to really engage them with their own learners on how they're doing that. We also had peer reviews included here, and love to talk more about this at a future date, but the idea that they could see each other's work and comment on the work and learn from each other. And this was a case, as you were mentioning earlier, David, the gamification and progress reports, I mean, it drove over an 85% completion rate. So being conservative here, but very, very high completion rates and high, exceptionally high satisfaction scores compared to other programs that they'd run. So it really resonated. And I'd say in general, it helped improve this collaboration across the organization. And that was really what they were getting. And we had people from, you know, South Africa and Europe, Asia and North America all collaborating and now sharing their stories with each other. And it created a really positive environment for that. So I know we're at the top of the hour. I'll just wrap up with a few takeaways, but hopefully we shared some insights around kind of what's happening in learning and what the delivery practices and options are, some of the methods that are really resonating with individuals, and how this blended digital learning we think is emerging as a new norm and a good way to deliver the training, and the collaboration that happens really creates a better engagement and outcome. So what else would you add to this, David?
I mean, I would say that irrespective of the delivery method, and COVID obviously introduced lots of people to online and live virtual and now digital blend, if there's collaboration and there's peer-to-peer learning, the learners will have a good experience. And that's kind of the big takeaway.
The market is changing, making sales skills more important than ever before. How to transform your team into peak performers? If you want the answer, plus free resources for podcast listeners, visit salesreadinessgroup.com/podcast.